from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We got Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy coming up in about 20 minutes. But first, this question, it was asked by maybe a real person, may not, on Twitter, Dove Kleiman. It's a picture of Dak Prescott, and it says, what's stopping this man from winning a Super Bowl? Now, we've already gotten about 50 million different answers.
And our Twitter is 105.3, at 105.3 The Fan, is already getting responses as well.
And so I'm just going to throw out a few responses, and I want to kick it around to y'all, because I am kind of torn between three different answers on this. So from the 214, easy touchdowns. From the 945, Dak Prescott is stopping Dak Prescott from winning a Super Bowl. From the 254, Jerry and Stephen Jones. From the 972, ability. And from the 860, his own head. So there's lots more answers. We will dive back into that. But I wanted to kick it around to y'all first. Is there one primary thing that you're like, this is why this is going to stop him from winning a Super Bowl?
You have something, Mike?
Well, the thing that I feel like stops him is the pressure of the playoffs. He's like Garrett Cole comes to mind. Now, I know Garrett Cole's been out a lot of this year with injury, but he's pitching really good right now for the Yankees. But he plays up to a Cy Young MVP standard for the most part in the regular season. And then I don't know why, but then we're going to watch Jack Leiter tonight, and we're hoping things turn around. But then he turns into Jack Leiter in the playoffs. And you're like, what just happened? How did this guy play like this for approximately 17 games? And then we're seeing one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in 2023 or 2022 or 2021. Like, how does it happen every year that he turns into the worst possible version of himself when it gets time to play a playoff game?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I want to say it's shell coverage is what's stopping him from getting to the Super Bowl. Because and there are a lot of quarterbacks that struggle with this, because you learn a certain way to attack a defense, and then if you can't recognize that what's going on there and who's, you know, what those safeties are doing, man. Cam Newton is an interesting fella, right? I saw a video recently of him explaining exactly what he does once he breaks huddle. And from there, like, the entire, because there's a clip of Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers says to a Bucks guy in their joint practice, back up, you're not coming. Because he looks over and he goes, the way I just saw this defense, you're not really doing pressure.
Sure.
So you need to go ahead and back up. And he laid the whole thing out as, you know, and we talked about this for years now. You'll turn around, immediately find your safeties, because the safeties tell you everything. Find out what that is. And a lot of times those safeties are just like, we're going to stay back here. And then Dak's like, okay, a lot of my plays are for big gains here. How do I find something underneath that can continue this drive going? It's been a struggle for him to beat that shell coverage, because he wants, and their offense is built for big explosive plays. They got to be able to maneuver consistently down a field and force a team to say, all right, screw it, we have to bring a safety up. And that's when Dak can beat them. That's been one of the big things against good teams. They've been so disciplined against Dak to say, we're not going to give up on this. We know this is how this is your kryptonite.
It is interesting the way these responses are kind of being split up from the 214, the lack of defensive tackles, from the 817. It's the emblem on his helmet that represents owners caring more about that emblem than winning a Super Bowl. From the 682, what's stopping Dak is his team. From the another 682, the team lacks confidence in big moments, and Dak has to take some blame for that. And I'm going to go with the organization. I think there are three very viable reasons that immediately jumped into my mind. Himself, the Cowboys continuing to struggle understanding the salary cap. But what I'm going to go with is the Cowboys' lack of ever really going all in.
Okay, so can I? This is another line I was going to use.
Okay, sure.
Not being a championship team.
Yes.
A legitimate championship team. You're very top heavy. You don't have quite the depth that you really need to be a championship team. And then there's a mentality, a culture in your locker room that we win no matter what. You know, there's just a different personality whenever you are the best of, you know what, we'll flip the light on and we will, and it's going to happen. Not, hey, you know what, at some point you're going to see the bright shining lights. Just wait. Like that, there's a difference between the teams that know how to go that next place and teams that don't. And I agree. I think that is part of the what Jerry is talking about with, like, you're going to have young and journeyman type players on this team because this is what we're giving you.
You can go back to the first 4 years of his career where I really did not understand. You have a built-in competitive advantage over the rest of the NFL. Now, I know multiple teams might have that, like the 49ers have that right now with Brock Purdy. The Cowboys in 2016 had a built-in competitive advantage in terms of, we have a quarterback that we know can play and we are paying him nothing. And so I realized there was a little remnants of the Tony Romo deal, but not as much as people seem to make out. Why the Cowboys didn't really go all in right then, I will never understand. But let's even look at right now, this season. All right. Well, you got to be careful with the salary cap, blah, 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 blah. All right. CeeDee Lamb just signed his deal on Monday. Do you know how much that dropped his cap hit? We talked about this earlier. $9.25 million. If you did sign Dak to a long-term deal, and I know lots of people have lots of opinions about that, I could probably drop his salary cap number by $15 to $17 million today. And now I realize at this time of the year, who is that for? Like the pickings are a lot different. But Corey, when you were talking about top heavy or not having the depth,
how many players can you get for that money?
Exactly. Like I can get you six quality depth players like that. Because I just saved you $24 to $26.25 million on your salary cap. Now, that would require actually going all in because you would set yourself up for potential failure with the cap in future years. I absolutely acknowledge that. But like we talked about with the Rams and what they did with their draft picks, do you think anybody cared after they won their Super Bowl?
Mm-mm.
No. If you could win a Super Bowl here in Dallas, I think people could deal with a couple of years of actual salary cap hell. And that's what I don't like about the way the Cowboys do this. They came to the agreement on CeeDee Lamb that we all kind of pegged almost down to the number. David Hellman, I think, actually had the exact number. And they do it at a time where that $9 million is not going to immediately come in handy. I know it'll help you with Linval Joseph, but like maybe you could have taken a look at strengthening, whether you think it's depth at cornerback, at defensive tackle, at linebacker, wherever, at running back, wherever you think the money could have been spent. The Cowboys decided to wait for honestly no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have cost them a couple of your quality depth players or maybe a starter or two.
Yeah. And in their minds, I wonder if it's like, look, if we don't pay him the $40 million or the $60 million this year, then we only wait till next year, then that money, I wonder if they're worried about their cash, you know, and that,
could
that
be.
Concept of it. I want to add this, Kevin. I think Dak is a really good quarterback.
Sure.
I think he's capable. When Jerry Jones says, I absolutely believe that we can win with Dak Prescott, I don't think he's lying about that. I think Dak can do it. I think there's a lot of other factors that are keeping it from actually happening, though. Them being a legitimate championship culture and team.
Do you hate this answer? And I get that it's a team sport. But I remember talking to Ian Kinsler, and I think it was here on The Fan, when I talked about 2009. And he said, well, we just weren't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. We weren't good enough. Do you guys not want to hear that maybe he's just not good enough?
Yeah, maybe he's not.
I cannot rule that out. I think that is a potentially viable answer, and that's why the first thing...
It doesn't mean he's bad. Yeah. It just means he's not good enough to be able to carry three wins against three quality opponents, and that would be getting the bye. If you want to say, well, you didn't get the number one seed, you'd have to beat four quality opponents, and I don't think he's good enough.
Okay, and I think that is fair. That's why I go back to, and that's why the first thing I said is potentially himself. That might be the number one thing. But that's why I go back to the all in. Because you have seen quarterbacks that theoretically aren't good enough make their way to the Super Bowl. You know, like I know people bring up Dilfer or Brad Johnson or whoever. Like you can't convince me they're better than Dak.
I'm with you. I agree.
And so I think by going all in, you could have used that excess money to your advantage by propping up, if you want to say propping up the team, propping up Dak, doesn't matter. By giving them an advantage, and I think the Cowboys have squandered that opportunity the last 2 years, and also in 2017, 18, and 19. I think that is 5 years of like basic salary cap allocation that they could have done differently and made a stronger team at the risk of the future, which looking back at how it went, feels like maybe it would have been worth a shot.
Yeah, I am also like, Super Bowls aren't easy to come by.
Fair.
They feel a lot harder here than they do other places.
Yeah, and it feels also fair. I mean, you look at it, you're like, it was easy for Tom Brady. It was easy for Patrick Mahomes. And they didn't win all of them either.
It just felt like that.
But, I mean, they're not easy to come by. But the Cowboys, I mean, this is kind of the way I feel they're looking at it. It's kind of like they did with Romo. They have the piece. Going to find something else is very, there's a lot of unanswers out there. If you go try to do it with somebody else, there's also the, you know, hope that, hey, you can get over that hump if you do. But it just does feel like, hey, man, we spent all this time with this guy. We're battling with him to get there. We want him to get it. We want to be able to say we did it with that. What's Jerry always say is that his biggest failure was not getting one for Romo.
And yet we've replicated the exact
Here he is with the
path.
Exact same thing.
It just shows he's not a very truthful person.
It's the same thing because in Romo, okay, let's say you weren't sure after 06. Well, I mean, you probably got a pretty good idea into 07 when that team was rocking and rolling. You could have done the same thing then.
And if you want to say that the defense has let it down, the defensive tackles aren't good enough, and therefore the defense gets run all over, and then Dak has to make up for that. Hey, man, it is such an enigma of trying to figure out exactly what it is. But, yeah, the defense doing its job is a big factor as well.
And I don't dispute that at all. I felt the same way about Romo, and that's where the actual going all in. Like I said, $26.25 million, like that. That's where, whether it's starters, whether it's depth, whether it's whatever, you could have allocated to the defense.
You know what the NFL needs? The NFL needs an in-season championship tournament, you know?
And we might actually win
that one out.
I could see us taking that really seriously.
I do want to throw this out there, Kevin. Eric Scott has been traded to Kansas, or has been picked up by Kansas City. And Julius Wood, your guy, was picked up by the Tennessee Titans, and he has already tweeted out, thank you, God. Hashtag tighten up. So
I still don't understand that cut. I'm going to have to pick some more people's brains about why he didn't make the team besides the, he wasn't good enough. Also, does it concern you that the Chiefs have now picked up two players that we were like, well, they're not good enough to be on our team? I realized
last time they did that, those guys won championships with them. And then Damian Wilson
came
and
back.
Taco.
Well, not Taco. There was another linebacker, Hitchens. Anthony Hitchens.
I realize different teams have different strengths, but when you hear, they wanted Hendershot, they wanted Eric Scott, a little part of me is like, they did? Why?
What do they know that we don't?
That makes me just a little bit nervous. By the way, thank you very much. All kinds of interactions. We're trying to respond to them over text, over YouTube, with stuff that we've been saying on air. So thank you guys very much for getting involved in the show. Coming up next, Let's have a chat with a Texas Rangers manager, Bruce Bochy, right here on your home of the Cowboys and the Rangers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to link up with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy in just a few minutes. But I was curious for both of you gentlemen for this. Which do you think is more impressive? Because they're both chasing it. Would it be Aaron Judge?
Oh my gosh.
Breaking... Am I stealing?
No, this is great. Okay. This is part, I mean, we might be in a little bit of Mike likes okay. it, but it doesn't matter. I have another something too.
Would it be Aaron Judge breaking the American League home run record in back-to-back seasons or Shohei becoming the first 50-50 player? Because there's betting odds out for this now, and I can give you the betting odds as well, but both feel like amazing feats.
This is, and I was thinking about this, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because we can talk about it here, is we are seeing two of the greatest seasons in baseball history. And now they have to do a little bit more, but what Shohei's possibly going to do, a 50-50, nobody's even come close to 50-50. Yeah. And he's going to get close. And then Aaron Judge, they brought up the guys that have had three 50 home run seasons, like in three consecutive years, if I have it right. It's Babe Ruth, him, and then three steroid guys.
Yeah.
You know, because it's McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds. And they did it. I'm not taking anything. I mean, I'm taking something away from them. They did it on supplements. They did it on steroids, which is, hey, they did it, and other guys weren't doing it on that. But he's the only guy besides Babe Ruth to accomplish this.
By the way, as a side note to all of this, Marcell Ozuna could still theoretically win the National League Triple Crown. He's four home runs back of Ohtani. He could still win the Triple Crown, okay. And it feels like that's an afterthought. Like, it really does.
Aaron Judge has a chance of winning the Triple Crown,
too. Yes, he does. He'd have to overtake Bobby Witt.
Which right now, now they're playing right now. I don't know what Bobby Witt's done today, but Bobby Witt Jr. is at 346, and Aaron Judge is at 333. He doesn't have to worry about the home runs, and RBI wise, I don't think he has to worry because Jose Ramirez is 18 back.
Would that be all the more impressive if Aaron Judge led in every category across Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I think I know that there's a lot of longevity in the game of baseball because when we think of the greatest players of all time, we think of Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams. Well, they all accumulated these stats over such a long period of time. But for you, Kevin, I'm speaking for you, but I know you. You talk about prime
as being more important. That's a bigger deal.
And is anybody having a better prime in the history of baseball than Aaron Judge? Now, Barry Bonds, in a weird way, it happened in his mid-30s.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. Can you argue that Aaron Judge over a three or possibly coming up here, like, you know, he'd have to continue this a little bit longer. Like, is anybody ever having a better prime in the history of baseball than Aaron Judge?
It is pretty overwhelming. And somebody brought up this point. It kind of goes to Ozuna as well from the 940. Nobody's even talking about it, but Jose Ramirez has a shot at 40-40 as well. I think right now.
He's over 30-30. I know that.
And he's on pace for 40 home runs and I believe 39 stolen bases. So he would be what? The seventh, eighth player ever to do it? Doesn't really matter. Same thing with Ozuna. That's neat. But let's focus on this. Which is more impressive to you?
Well, I guess I'm going to go with. I go with with Shohei's.
That makes sense.
Stealing bases is amazing. I feel like, are we going to be talking about just these two dudes for that long now? Like they are the guys that the storyline is about.
Yeah, it's changed from Mike Trout.
Yeah,
like Mike Trout's done. Not done forever, but he's not the face of baseball anymore. He's not in this group. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He'll be remembered in the history of baseball forever, but a lot of it will be the disappointment of what we didn't get to see from Mike Trout. But now when we're talking about this new part, now I forget how old Aaron Judge is because I was just clicking on him. He is 32. And at his size, I don't know how long he can last.
Two more years?
Yeah, at this level. Yes, at this 50-plus home runs, chasing the 60 home run marker, which
playing center field.
Yeah. I mean, you have Babe Ruth, you have Roger Maris, and then you have the steroid era.
Yeah.
And then you have Aaron Judge. And so I just look at it and go, wow. I mean, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to discuss this. I didn't know how involved you wanted to be in this because as we're talking about whether it's Patrick Mahomes, whether the longevity of LeBron James and the greatness in baseball, nobody's ever done what Shohei Ohtani's done. And then you have Aaron Judge.
Can we stop on that for just one second? Yeah. Just wait. I do want to expand on Ohtani. I'm glad that you brought that up because I was in the category of Ohtani is an amazing player. He's an amazing player because he's really good at two different things that nobody else can do simultaneously. I was curious what it was going to look like when he was on an even playing field in terms of nobody else can do what he can do. So what's it going to look like when he can do both? And he's like, this is what I can do. It's amazing. Yeah. Like truly amazing.
It is. And I can't, this is, I'll say it again. And I think I've said it here. Ohtani will never do this again because he's going to pitch and they're not going, he's not going to try to steal 40 or 50 or 60 bags when he's also a pitcher every sixth, seventh day. He just can't steal. Now he could hit 40 home runs, but he's just not. This is the one year that he's allowed to kind of steal bases like this.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We might dive back into that conversation, but right now, if you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold and also brings you, I think, though we might be calling an audible here, our interview with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How we doing?
We're doing good. We appreciate you fitting us in. I know it's a tight schedule today with the doubleheader. I'm curious, how does that affect availability or pitching plans for you guys having to go with the doubleheader as opposed to what the schedule was going to be?
We're all set to go. I mean, we've had 2 days off, so guys are fresh in bullpen. We got long guys down there, so we have coverage. With Leiter, we will have to keep an eye on him and his workload. But Andrew, we're hoping to get five or six. If we get that, then we're good the first game. And first game always can dictate what we have left in the second game. And we don't think about tomorrow until we get to that point. We have to make a move. We'll do that. But I think we're fine there. Now, our job is to go out and get some runs.
When you talk about monitoring Leiter, outside of just what you regularly do to monitor a pitcher, is there anything special for him because he's young, because he has kind of bounced up and down from the minors? Like, what do you look for when you're monitoring him?
Well, more than anything, just, how their innings are going, how stressful they are. You're always looking at, number of pitches, but he's had some time off, and 2 weeks ago, and so he's good. He's healthy. He's been stretched out, and we could take him up to 90 pitches in there, but just a case of how he gets there. So anyway, Mike Maddox and I will, we'll keep a watchful eye on how it's going for him. Check on him, but he's You know, he wouldn't be starting the second game if we didn't think he was stretched out, he was healthy, he was good to go.
When we kind of talked about this a little bit with Mike earlier, and I was kind of curious on the front of if you have him up for a few weeks and have that opportunity to kind of really work with him, is that better because then you can kind of drill in on some other things that you see in his game?
Well, it's always better. It's better for the players, better for the coach. No getting around that. Now, it's about results, too, up here, and especially when you're in a win, you know, now mode that's which, you know, we were during the season. Now things are changing a little bit, and so that comes into play with maybe playing time with guys. You know, of course, we'll bring up a guy or two. You know, September 1st, and hopefully find some playing time there. That's where it changes. But during the season, you know, it's kind of hard to do that when you're trying to, you know, get back to the postseason and still try to develop guys. But to your point, sure, you know, whether it's a position player or a pitcher, it's always good to have your hands on as much as you can.
Well, it looks like in the box score, Jacob DeGrom had another two successful innings last night. Could you tell us what you've heard?
Yeah, great job. Again, you know, had some easy innings there. Didn't get up to the 40, which he could have. So when that didn't happen, after he finishes two innings, he went down the bullpen and he threw some more to stretch him out. So the next time he goes out, he'll be 3 to 4 innings in that area. Came out of it fine as far as we know. I have not talked to him today, but he was hit 98-99, had good command all his pitches and pitched very efficiently, and that's why he went to the bullpen and throws some more after his two-inning stint.
What was there, and I apologize if this is a silly question, was there ever any thought about, instead of that happening in the bullpen because he was so efficient, just leaving him in the game, or do you like the controlled avenue of stretching him out more in the bullpen?
Well, now, second time out, this was the plan, so it's a matter of sticking with the plan the first two times out. Now, we'll have a little bit more flexibility as far as sending him out and just making sure that we don't deviate too much, and then you have regrets. Well, this was our plan, and we sent him back out. Because I don't care where you're pitching. You know, when we are in a competitive environment, I mean, you're going to crank it up a little bit more,
sure,
almost. So we didn't want to do it the third inning.
Hey, I know this is a minor leaguer right now, Boach, but Justin Foscue, I was just looking up yesterday, is batting .342 in the month of August in AAA. Can you give us – is there something you guys told him to go down there and work on, and it's really changed his hitting?
I think as much as anything, it's just he's been getting a lot of reps. He came up here, and, you know, he got a few reps, and you know, he wasn't, you know, getting his hits. But, you know, with that oblique that set him back, he missed quite a bit of time with that. So he's a hitter. He's, you know, he gives you quality at bats. He has discipline at the plate, so he'll take his walk, but he has an knack of getting the barrel on the ball. So I think that's all it is getting more reps. If there's one thing we told him, hopefully send a message, is to let it go, be aggressive. That's, you know, the type of hitter that we want, you know, someone that's going to get a good swing off. And, you know, we always want guys that have discipline, but at the same time, not up there looking to walk, especially a guy like Justin Foscue who can do some damage.
And now that he has done that damage, will we see him on September 1st, you think?
Well, I can't just make that call to you guys.
It's worth
right
a shot.
Now. Yeah, you know, it has to go through beer.
Now, we've talked, obviously, you've talked ad nauseum about the offense and the hitting. I was curious about, since you just mentioned plate discipline, the lack of walks this season compared to, like, especially last year. Is there anything you've seen, and how do you balance being aggressive but also, you know, still wanting to draw walks?
Well, a couple things there. I mean, every year is going to be different. We know how pitchers attack you. And last year, I think you look at how we swung the bats and the numbers we put up, the damage. Well, that creates fear when you're doing a lot of damage at the plate. What comes with that are walks. Look at the great hitters, Bonds, guys like that. Yeah, they had intentional walks, but when they didn't get those, they still walked a lot because of the fear of throwing the ball over the plate. Maybe a little bit of that is gone, and we're getting attacked a little bit more than we did last year, or I'll say a lot more, and that is the case. So, those walks aren't available because, being honest, we're just not swinging the bats the way we did last year.
You brought up Bonds there, and we were just having a discussion before you came on the air about Ohtani and Judge and the historical seasons those two guys are having. When it comes to, I know you're tight on schedule here, but when it comes to those two guys, you've managed against Albert Pujols, you had Bonds, you had Miguel Cabrera, Mike Trout. Judge and Ohtani are having seasons that you could argue are back to or in a way similar to when Barry Bonds was having those crazy years. Where do you look at those two guys right now, Ohtani and Judge, offensively?
Well, I agree. I mean, close. But I'll say this. I don't know if we'll see a season, or seasons like Bonds was having in his heyday. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just look at the number of walks, intentional walks. He just didn't get anything to hit. And when he did get a pitch, man, he didn't miss it very often. And so that's just amazing what he was doing, during his prime there. So, but you look at these two guys, I think it's fair to say, it's close, but I don't think it's quite what Bonds was doing.
Last thing for you, just a little bit of fun since y'all are in Chicago. What is your favorite style of pizza?
I'm not a deep dish guy. I never have been. I like that thin, real thin pizza. I've been to Italy, and that's where I kind of, I guess, became fond of it. But we have it in here. Last night, we got rained out. We had both styles of pizza, and I didn't have either one last night. But if I would have got one, it would have been a thinner pizza.
I'm with you, Boach.
Breaking my heart just a little bit.
Wilson, he crushed a deep dish last night.
What's your toppings? If we were to get you a pizza, Boach, what's the toppings you want on it?
I'm a big sausage guy. I have sausage and mushrooms.
Well, thank you very much, good sir. Again, I know, tight schedule today. Get after it. We appreciate the time.
Yeah. Got two games. It's part of the schedule after that rain out. So boys are ready to go, and hopefully we'll put some runs across the board for this pitching staff today.
Excellent. We'll catch you next week.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you.
Go get Rangers.
There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Rangers know that big wins come from bold plays, as he just said. That's why the original Louisiana brand hot sauce is the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce. Yeah. Flavor favors the bold and brings you that interview every week with Bruce
Bochy. By you.
Kevin.
Oh.
Great news for you.
Oh, Adrian Peterson signing with the Cowboys?
Jalen Cropper is signing to the practice squad.
I do like Jalen Cropper. Oof. Up until the last preseason game, maybe the last week and a half, it looked like he had the inside track.
Yeah, that fumble kind of,
Glad he has an O in his last name.
Up a little bit, but.
Yes, because yes. We all get it.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, don't, Corey. Corey doesn't. Please tell me you get it. Because otherwise his name would be...
Is there another vowel?
Yeah, it could be Jalen Crapper, and that's what he's getting at. I know that's what you're getting at.
It could be Crepper.
So stupid.
What if it was? What if, when they didn't have last names and they were coming up with last names, they're like, Crooper. Oh, man, that guy's always on the Crapper. And then they're like, well, call him John Crapper. And then they're like, hey, we got to change this last name. And they're like, what's the easiest way to do? Just change the A to an O.
See, I feel like I get painted into this corner time and again because I want to tell you we're about to shift. But it's Mike Likes It time, so there's nothing I can do about it.
All right, well, we got Cropper back. Okay, now,
That video helps. Corey showed me. I'm a big fan. Mike, I don't want to.
You asked this the other day.
Okay. I'm fine.
Videos that make me kind of feel relaxed. I'm a big fan of when they push things down the steps or like throw bottles like they roll and they a bottle smash. Down
slinky?
Yeah. I mean, no, it could be a slinky. It's like this. Usually it's a bottle and they roll it down the stairs or they roll it off like a plank and it goes.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that.
So
it makes me relaxed.
One of the things that I do to relax Corey at times is I massage his shoulders.
This is true, and it feels great.
It does. I'm a good masseuse of the man's shoulders.
My wife's hands aren't as strong as Mike's.
Well, that makes sense.
So my wife does not.
You're like half a foot taller than
you. You refuse for me to massage you, and I think it would relax you.
Dude.
It has nothing to do with you. Good. I think it would tense me up more.
Why? Because a man's touching you?
I love it. Tense up? Not a man. I don't love when people touch me in general.
Take a deep breath. And then relax your shoulders.
I'm good.
All right.
I went to get a couples massage one time with Jess.
Yeah.
And she knew I was very angsty going into it. Like, it just made me nervous.
Yeah. I don't mind them.
It was the moment when she was like, was that hard enough for you? And I was like, I don't want to answer that question.
Okay. Let's go back to, I just remember when I went on a couples massage with Sue, the lady then started like rubbing her finger around my lips when I was.
That's so weird.
It was weird.
Nobody
was
does like, that. Hold on now.
Nobody does that.
I think I've told this story before. Have you forgotten?
I guess so.
I think we're
getting new listeners all the time though, Mike.
I think we were in the Dominican Republic. I think that was where we took this trip and it was couples massage. And so. You know, you're laying on your stomach and your face is in that
hole.
Yeah, whole thing. And so for some reason, and I was like, I don't know. I don't get a lot of massages.
Me either, yeah.
So I was like, this doesn't feel right or this doesn't seem like this is right, but I'm not going to, like,
Did she, or he.
Hold on, were your eyes, could you see her hand?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Did she massage your buttocks?
There were times where she got really close to things that I was not comfortable with.
Did you sign up for that?
But then I don't know any better. I don't know any better.
This is sounding a little sketchy to me.
Roll over they didn't and touch get on your like back.
Private areas, but it was close enough where you're like, ooh, like that's close enough.
Mike, here's a Ken doll. Show us where the.
Okay, so let's go back to Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani talk for just a minute. Then I'll get into another weird topic that I'm in.
Can I give you the betting odds on some of these things? Because they're pretty interesting to me.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Judge, even money, whether or not he'll hit 63 home runs or more.
63? Wow.
63. And then will Shohei become a member of the 50-50 club right
There's
now?
There's no club.
Well, will he start the 50-50 club?
Yeah.
2.5 to 1 on your money if you think he can do it.
That would be fun to just put a yes on just so you can root more for it.
For sure.
So let me ask you this. Aaron Judge is a New York Yankee. I'm going to ask Corey this first. I feel like he's a very likable player, but he plays for a team that you hate the most.
Yes.
Do you like Aaron Judge or do you dislike him because he's a Yankee?
I dislike him because he's a Yankee. Earlier, whenever I said... Are these two guys the guys we're going to be talking about for you know however many years? And I know he's his age, but I wanted to say I'm so tired of hearing about Aaron Judge.
Okay,
and it definitely does have to do with he's on the Yankees and they're good. That's just what they do. They churn out almost every year a championship type of expectation, and they you know, more often than not in our past got there.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know the player as much.
Do you love Shohei Ohtani? Or do you, I don't know. Like, where's your?
I feel like I love him better now that he's not on the Angels.
Okay.
Watching him, you know, watching him strike out Mike Trout in the World Baseball Classic was one of my favorite moments to watch. Not because Mike Trout struck out, but because we were seeing two juggernauts of baseball match up like we never get to see.
I feel like in a way these two guys are hard to dislike, but if you are, let's say, a Red Sox fan or just like, I'm a Yankee hater, it doesn't matter, or you're a Dodgers hater because he did go to a very good team and organization trying to get a championship desperately that's not a COVID championship. And so I get there could be that way, but when you just take the the people that they are, their likability factor, the way they interact with the fans for the most part, except for, I guess, the one Staten Island Little League coach who decided to take shots at Aaron Judge. Like, you never hear bad things about these guys as people or teammate-wise, you know?
Sure. I think I'm with you. By the way, just a quick NFL side note. The Steelers have decided to go with Russell Wilson per Jay Glazer as their starting quarterback in week one.
Was that a big question that I wasn't hearing about?
There was some thought that Justin Fields could make a run at it.
Is there a possibility that he does fulfill the Madden video game and he returns punts? Was it punts or kickoffs? Which one was it they wanted Fields to
I don't think he will either way. But I think I'm kind of with Corey. I think what Aaron Judge is doing is amazing, but I can't say that I like him because I also super dislike the Yankees.
Interesting. Now, I brought this up real quick. I have this is always fun to do. You can Google it because I always struggle how to get it, but it's through stathead.com/baseball reference.
Okay.
Is you can do a versus factor and you can take certain players and say, hey, how about this player versus this player? And then the age. And so this is the one thing about Aaron Judge that we talk about prime versus accumulation. And I put Aaron Judge versus Albert Pujols. I kind of tried to lead, but I didn't do a great job. I talked too much on that Bochy question, and he brought it back to Barry Bonds. And that's fine. I didn't do a great job of asking that question. But at the same age that they are, they're both 30. Well, Aaron Judge is 32. I go back to Albert Pujols accumulating stats up to the age of 32.
Okay.
Aaron Judge has right now 308 home runs for his career. How many home runs do you think Albert Pujols had at this time in his career at 32 years old?
400.
405.
475.
If it was 406, I was going to be so mad.
475 to 308.
Wow.
So now, Albert Pujols was one of the very few people in baseball history that got to 700 home runs. And nobody is amazing what he did at the end with the Dodgers to get on that. Like, nobody thought he was getting to 700 in the end, got on a run. So now, after you hear he has that many home runs, I'm just going to give you RBIs, Aaron Judge, 694 to Albert Pujols' 1,434. Like, isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
Like, when you... So, Aaron Judge isn't going to probably come close. By the way, hits for Aaron Judge right now, 1,001. He just reached the 1,000 marker.
Okay.
Hits for Albert Pujols at 32 years old, 2,246. Like, it's double.
Man, he was incredible.
I guess, yeah, I was thinking about Miggy's numbers and his, because he was a great hitter.
I didn't compare, because he's a 3,500 guy now, so is Pujols. He's one of the few guys that's like that. But when I think of Aaron Judge, at times I think of Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
And I look at the stats and I go, wow, Aaron Judge will never probably come close to the accumulation of stats, because Albert Pujols made the major leagues at 21 years old, Aaron Judge at 24. That's a big factor. And then you look at just the accumulation that he had with lack of injury. No injury for Albert Pujols when he was a Cardinal.
Yeah.
The injuries start happening when he becomes an Angel. And we'll see. Aaron Judge's body doesn't suggest that he's going to stay healthy for like 7 to 10
just
more.
Just because he's so freaking big.
6'7", 285. Yeah. Like, that's just not a baseball body.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just wanted to kind of look at Aaron Judge through kind of the Albert Pujols lens and just go, wow. I didn't realize how much Pujols had accumulated stats up to the age of 32.
Mike, this is big for you. Josh Ball back on the Cowboys practice squad.
Yeah! The ball is back!
Yeah, so we're looking forward. I know Mike was really concerned about that.
Was he? All right. Was really concerned about that.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't care at all about Josh Ball.
What?
But I do care about building homes.
Okay.
Mike likes it.
All right.
I showed my wife this and she was like, this is very relaxing to watch. I'm on YouTube.
Okay.
Rangers are rained out. And so I find this guy who built a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house with his kids, and he kind of, you know, obviously has it on fast forward, and
sure.
They built a house. It was a $50,000 like house, and it kind of comes in like a kit type of deal a little bit.
Like a prefab. Yeah.
So yeah. But my wife was like, our kids can definitely fold their laundry and put it in their own drawers if these kids are helping their dad build a house.
Hold on. So instead of the next logical step, which I thought you were going to go with, was maybe we could all build a house together. Your wife reflected on this being like, why can't they fold the laundry?
Yes.
That's fair.
But she also found it very soothing and something that she would want to do, and so would I. I have no skills in this, so as our kids go back to school, why don't we have car skills, carpentry skills? Like, there's certain things. I've never used chemistry in my life and never will. I've never used, obviously you've heard me speak. I don't even know if I've used English in my life properly. But yet I did do sketchy. All 12 years of it that I had to.
Even that sentence, I really feel like,
yeah, see, messed point. It up. I would love to know how to do these things. And nobody, some of the things that we teach, I don't know what. My kid right now is in geometry, hated geometry, can't help him at all in geometry. Never used geometry in my life. I don't think I have, and I don't think I will, because it's very weird to me. I had to build. Did you guys ever have to build like a toothpick bridge and see how much weight it could hold?
Yes.
As in geometry, I think I got a 71 on that. Like, I mean,
okay.
All of these other kids, I'm like, hey, how much did your parents do of this? How are you making this hold up? I was just gluing toothpicks and praying that it would just stay for as long as it could.
We did, was it Odyssey of the Mind is what it was? And you had to build a structure out of balsa wood.
Oh, here at Odyssey?
No, it was different. Oh. Odyssey. You had to build a structure. But while you were building a structure, you had to do like a skit at the same time. And ours, they didn't have any more weight. The one that I decided, I was like, here's how we should build it. They didn't have any more weight to put on it. Before, like, it finally snapped.
This was geometry?
No, it was Odyssey of the Mind. And then at the last minute.
That's a class?
It was.
It was like a seminar kind
of.
Yeah,
it was an elective kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then it broke, and they were like, that was amazing. And I was like, I know how to build buildings. And they said, but you weren't allowed to talk in your skit. So you guys y'all got disqualified.
Oh,
and we didn't read that stupid part. So yeah, reading was something we needed to do better.
I think
we
do need reading. I'm not trying to eliminate reading in school.
I appreciate that. Let me ask you this. If for some reason.
I think building a house is a great trait to learn.
Okay. If you and your wife decided that that's the path that you wanted to go in five, how many ever years.
Yeah.
Do you think your wife would still see not so baby Noah? Like, as her lone patient, would she still take care of baby?
You're going to have to find a new doctor.
Yeah, if we start becoming house builders.
Yeah.
Man, your house would fall down so quickly. I don't know how we'd fool the person into, like, this was Bassick built. Just know, if it was, it's falling down. Things are going to go wrong. I was watching,
the best endorsement.
They're so good at it. But I don't know. I feel like I want to stop doing things and just learn things.
I think that is an admirable pursuit.
But by that, will you then apply what you learn, or will you just want to learn and have the knowledge?
I have to make money for my family,
right.
So
yeah.
There's certain things that I do that are pretty worthless, like talking.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make money, you know.
That is true.
I know baseball, which ultimately, in the real world, knowing how to throw a baseball and make it move or hit a baseball. There's no, that does not help me at all in anything. I guess I could kill somebody attacking me because I know how to swing a bat really well.
You can teach baseball.
Yeah, but baseball doesn't matter.
Some of those coaches building make something, a lot of money.
Like being able to build homes. Being able to do certain things like
mechanics.
Oh my gosh. The car stuff.
You mechanics out there.
Yeah.
I love
it. But they don't teach us anything that matters. All I did was learn how to play baseball and then kind of talk about it halfway decently.
It's really a big endorsement for our show there as well. I
think
feel
you
like.
Do a really good job at talking.
I think
about
I do a well
baseball.
Job at it too.
Oh my God. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Should we ask Mike Moore about
Please,
the runnings back?
God,
room?
No.
Runnings backs are back.
Scott Hansen delivers and Don't Call Me Daddy next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.